me and said, you know, you can go the easy way, you can go the hard way. I started thinking that over, you know, and it always amazed me that that easier way always works out a little better, a little quicker than the hard way. The person you're going to hear from this morning went the hard way. He was a gangster, all-around bad guy. And for some of us, we go, yeah, but, you know, that's no big deal. Except for this guy was homegrown. And a lot of you knew him. I mean, know him now. Some of you knew him before he was saved. And he was scary then. He's scary now, too, but a little different. I'd like to introduce to you a guy named Chris White. Go ahead.
I got a lot of people cheering, and I got a lot of people thinking, why are these people cheering? What is the deal? Welcome, Foursquare family. I'm so happy to be here with you guys. What an amazing connection we have had thus far. It has been amazing. Oh, my gosh. I've got so many great things from this week. I am so excited to be here with you guys this week. I loved Ed Stetzer, and I don't know if you guys remember who was here for Ed Stetzer's session. Anybody? Everybody, hopefully, because morning sessions are the most important sessions, right? Amen. And he had a little bag, and I loved how he said his handler lost him on the way to the hotel, and he mentioned to his handler, he's like, hey, I left my deodorant, so he brought him deodorant. But then, you know, everybody kept bringing Pastor Ed deodorant throughout the week, and I want to let you know, Nick, thank you very much for not losing me this morning and taking care of me. But I did forget something, and so I'm so thankful that my supervisor helped me out and lent me his hair dryer. And so, Pastor Bill Cheney, where are you? Are you in a... Pastor Gary, will you get this to Pastor Bill for me? And I don't know what I would have done. I don't know what I would have done without it. But Pastor Bill, thank you. Thank you for that. I really appreciate that. We have had some world-renowned speakers. They've had amazing things to say. We are here at the end of another connection with inspiration at our backs and prayerful decisions for our future. We walk out of here with so many amazing things for our families, for our churches, and for our communities. And like the intro said, my name is Chris White, and I am so privileged to be here with you this morning, representing our Next Gen crew. There are a bunch of us over here, our Next Gen reps, our Next Gen leaders for our districts, and I have had the privilege, or maybe I drew the short straw, I'm not sure which one yet, I'll let you know after service, of addressing you guys this morning about the importance of Next Gen and about camps. Now, I am asked to speak at fundraising banquets and camps all over the world. I speak for organizations like Young Life, Youth for Christ, and Youth First. They asked me to come in and raise money for their banquets, for their camp properties, and also for their scholarship programs. Now, you guys can put your wallets away. We're not going to be asking for an offering this morning, even though maybe we should, because I know Foursquare pastors are some of the most generous people on the planet, and we can send a lot of students to camp with just the people that are sitting here in this room. But I'm also the lead pastor at Fountainhead Foursquare Church in Carson City, Nevada, where I just assumed the role for my lead pastors. And I'm sorry for any other lead pastors and Next Gen pastors. I truly did serve with the best lead pastors on the planet, Pastor Louie and Peggy Locke. Thank you so much for your love and support. We are in the middle of a really interesting situation. We assumed, my wife and I assumed, the senior pastor role in January, and we kept Louie and Peggy on staff with us, and they help us walk through every step of the way being a lead pastor, which is something that has blown my mind in the last 6 months. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, have we stooped this low in Foursquare to give a Next Gen leader a microphone at this thing? And not even just a quick talk, but a full session. You also might be thinking, those of you that are lead pastors, you might be thinking, boy, I better send back some of the return on my tithe because I did not realize we had stooped this low and cut this much to be able to give them a microphone. Or maybe, just maybe, we have amazing leaders who care about the next generation and where they spend eternity. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Glenn and Pastor Tammy, for the opportunity. I was here a week early for Connection, serving FMI and their great leaders, and I got into an Uber, and my driver said, there was 10,000 lawyers here last week. 10,000 lawyers. I know, right? Yeah, exactly. We got one in the room. One handsome one. And 10,000 lawyers. And he excitedly asked me, how many people are here for your conference? And I said, we got about 35,000 to 4,000 pastors and leaders here in Seattle. And then I asked him the question. I said, which is better, 10,000 lawyers or 4,000 pastors? There was a long pause. I promise, I'm serious. This is what he said. Pastors? And he like influxed his voice. Like, you know, he had to say that because I'm in the Uber with him. So Foursquare, I just want to say, we beat out 10,000 lawyers. Way to go. again, I am so thankful to be here with you guys. I am thankful that our leaders champion reaching the largest generation that we've ever seen, Generation Z. Pastor Angie, you did such a great job about talking about Gen Z. You took a bunch of my notes, actually. I wish we would have coordinated. But if you had not heard that we are basically in the middle of serving the largest generation in the world, I want you to write that down, type it into your phone. That is a very important thing for you to know as a lead pastor. As a pastor in a community, lead, associate, next gen, children's, doesn't matter what you're doing or where you're serving, the fact of the matter is we need to know that we have the largest generation that we are ministering to right now, and they are young people. Foursquare would call them next gen, children's, youth, and young adults. They make up 26% of our population in the United States of America. That is a big deal. If you are a pastor and you care about reaching people in your community, and I know a lot of pastors, and they care about reaching people in their communities, Generation Z is your largest people group. Generation Z is the largest people group in your communities, probably. This morning, I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you a story, and in this room sits thousands of pastors and leaders, and we all have ministry stories in here, every single one of us. Every single one of us have some good stories. Every single one of us have some hard stories. Maybe some of you right now, you sit here in the midst of a hard season. Maybe some of you, like right now, I feel the wind at my back with amazing pastors smiling at me every Sunday morning in our church services. Whether you're in a good season or a bad season, whether you have ministry wins or ministry losses, I want to tell you a story, a Foursquare story. The story starts off like this, 1961. A boy grew up in the largest trailer park in the United States of America called Sun Valley, Nevada. His dad brought him home from the hospital to the largest trailer park in the world. And he loved his son very much. This father loved his son. But this father also loved alcohol. And he would drink often. And when he would drink, he would get angry. And when he would get angry, he would hit him and his wife often. Now, years later, this man's father would die from liver failure. And now the boy is 17 years old, and he's got a son of his own. He brings his son home from the hospital to the same trailer park that he came home to. And this man loves his son very much. But just like his father, he also loves alcohol. And just like his father, when he drinks, he gets angry. And he drinks often. And he would hit his son and his wife often. His son would go to school and have to lie to the administration about why he had a black eye. His wife would go to work and lie about the bruises that were placed on her arms and her body. Now, this young man is growing up just like his father, and he starts drinking at a very young age. And just like his grandpa and just like his dad, he has an anger problem. This boy is in and out of juvenile hall, in and out of gangs, involved with drugs. He gets arrested at 16 years old. For assault with a deadly weapon. This boy is facing a long, hard road. Just out of juvenile hall, he meets a woman by the name of Lori Thomas. She knew this boy. She knew his family situation. She knew all that he had been through. So she invites him to go to a Christian camp. This boy had never been to church, never heard about Jesus a day in his life. She slaps a VHS tape in his hands. If you don't know what a VHS tape is, it's kind of like a DVD. If you're in with us and you're Gen Z and you don't know what a DVD is, it's kind of like Netflix, but one episode in a black box. Lori Thomas hands him this VHS tape. He takes it home. He pops it into the VCR. It's not rewound. He gets up, goes and puts it in the rewinder, rewinds it, hits play. It was tough back then, everybody. I'm just going to tell you. He hits play. He sees the most amazing thing on the planet. Camp. Go-karts. Fun games. Students smiling and having fun. A swimming pool. And most importantly to this boy, girls in bathing suits around the pool. He calls Lori Thomas instantly and says, I'm going to camp. She paid for him to go to camp. He loads up in the van and goes to camp. Still with bruises on his body from his father, he gets to camp. One thing the VHS tape left out of this story is that they lock you in a chapel three times. Can we be better about that, next gen leaders? Can we be upfront? Like, hey, we're going to lock you in a chapel three times a day. We're going to tell you about this man named Jesus who died for you, loves you. But that was not in the videotape. I'm like, hey, I showed up. The first thing they do is get us in chapel. I'm like, where's the pool? Where's the girls? So as I just let the story out, the boy is me. I was the 17-year-old boy in and out of juvie, arrested for assault. I was the boy at camp for the first time. And on November 15th, 1998, my life was in shambles. And the camp speaker asked a very simple question. If you want to accept Jesus into your heart and into your life, raise your hand. And with huge tears in my eyes, I lifted my hand and I prayed the prayer of salvation. Now listen, I went home, back to my abusive father, back to my house that was in shambles. The first abusive father was my grandfather. The next abusive father was my father. I went home to a home that was a wreck. It was a mess. But you know what's great? I went home to a small 70-person four-square church in Sparks, Nevada, where my pastors loved me right where I was, and they walked me through a transformation process of what it meant to be a man of God. Pastors Paul and Judy Holland, Pastor Lori and Ted Leanhard, Pastors Robert and Andrea Geiler. My supervisor at the time was Pastor Robbie Booth, and my next gen director was Pastor Brian Kane. I looked at these men and women like they were superheroes. I desperately wanted what they had. I went home and I got water baptized in a small four-square church. I asked my wife to marry me in a small four-square church. I got married in a small four-square church. I spoke in tongues for the first time at Old Oak Ranch. God transformed my life because of the four-square family. Now listen, I want to tell you something. People ask me why I'm passionate. Why I'm passionate about Foursquare, why I'm passionate about Next Gen, why I'm passionate about camp. And here's what I tell them. It's because you, Foursquare family, you helped transform me. Years later, in that same Foursquare church, my mom, who had divorced my dad by that time, lifted her hand and said yes to Jesus. A woman who had a son at 17 years old and knew nothing but hard life, all of the years of her life, gave her life to Jesus in that same four-square church. My dad showed up 2 years later. They weren't married. And he lifted his hand in that same small four-square church. He stopped drinking. My mom and dad got remarried, and they finally had the marriage. And it's amazing. They finally had the marriage that they always wanted. My dad and I and my mom and dad had something that we'd never had before, and that was the love of Jesus in our lives. Now, 2 years later, my dad was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, also known ALS, and he died a horrible death. A man with so much regret died with his family and his wife by his side with nothing but love in their hearts because we had been transformed by the love and the power of Jesus and his Holy Spirit. But it is only because a small Foursquare church had a plan and a strategy to reach the next generation. It is only because a small, and I keep saying the word small Foursquare church because our churches might, you know, not our churches are small. Some of my, I'm going to leave it there. A small Foursquare church had a plan for camp and camping ministry. I am passionate for the next generation, Foursquare, and for camps because I have lived the transformation process. I can trace my knowing and following Jesus back to those three things. And I want to take it a step further. Josiah, Noel, Vanessa, will you please quickly come up here? I married an amazing Christian woman who also was saved at a Foursquare church. Her family and her story is much like mine. My beautiful daughter, Noel, and my son, Josiah. My kids will never know what it's like to see their dad hauled off in handcuffs. My wife will never know what it's like to have bruises on her arms. My son will never know what it's like to go to school and have to lie about a black eye that's on his face. And I promised myself, if I ever had the opportunity, because I came to Connection for years. As a 19, 20-year-old, I interned in Foursquare churches, and I have been raised by you guys. And I promised myself, if I ever had the opportunity to look at you in the eyes, I would tell you thank you. I would tell you thank you. Whether I know you or not, whether you've met me or not, thank you. Because I know that you are doing the same thing that my pastors did for me. You have a heart to see people come to know God. You have a heart to see this generation to be known and to love our Savior. The name of this conference says it all, transformed. We are transformed by the power of His Holy Spirit. My family was transformed by the power of His Holy Spirit. All because a Foursquare church believed in camp and had a ministry to young people. So I stand before you humbly, lead pastors, pastors and leaders. I stand before you humbly and I ask that you would pray and seek and search your hearts and your minds for what is your strategy for Generation Z. What is your strategy for ministry to young people? Because I want to see what God has done in my family's life happen over and over and over again from across the United States to across the world. Today, I want to break down the myth as a lead pastor, speaking to other lead pastors at this moment. I want to break down the myth that it costs a lot to have a next-gen ministry. It doesn't. But it will cost our movement a lot, and it will cost the kingdom of God a lot if we don't have a strategy for this next generation. I love what my super handsome boss, Supervisor Pastor Bill Cheney, says often. He says, Chris, people don't often get saved at the district office. Real ministry happens at the local church. Can I get an amen for that? The numbers are staggering. 83%, write this down. This is important. Type it in your phones. 83% of people who become Christians will do so between the ages of 4 and 14. We as lead pastors, and I keep saying lead pastors because I hope that you catch this, we have a responsibility to have a ministry to children's, to youth, and to young adults. I want to ask a question here, and I'm going to be bold, and even if I look dumb at this point and nobody raised their hands, I want to be bold and ask this question. Everybody in this room, if you had God do something amazing in your life, whether it was when you were in youth ministry, or whether you were at camp, whether it be salvation, rededication, baptism of the Holy Spirit, call to ministry, or a physical healing. If you as an adult leader in here right now have ever felt God do something amazing in your heart, whether it was in youth ministry or at camp, will you stand up quickly and just stay standing? Stay standing. If you're standing up, you're saying God has touched my life in youth ministry or at camp. Stay standing. Will you look around this room right now? This is an amazing, staggering thing to see for me up here looking out. I want to look at you guys in the eyes right now. If you're standing up, you're saying God did something in you when you were a student, whether it was in a youth group, a children's ministry, a young adults group, or at camp. Foursquare family, it is important that we remember our roots. It is important that we remember our testimony of children's, youth, and young adult ministry. It's important that we remember our testimony of what God did in our lives at camp. That way we can be great leaders and do the same thing for someone else. Thank you for standing. We need to have a camp strategy. We need to have a next-gen strategy. And I want to be careful to say it doesn't all need to look the same. We all don't need hipster youth pastors with holes in their jeans smoking lights. We don't. Is that okay? And I know I'm offending some of my hipster friends in here. It could be you guys with rips in your jeans, or it could be a grandma with 4 students, 10 burgers, and Bible stories. It doesn't need to look the same. But before you clap, but we need something. We need something. Pastors, I want to tell you this. We also need an after-camp strategy. Can I? All right, good. I'm glad we're on the same page. Let me tell you why. We need to be expectant that people are going to go to camp, be transformed. We need to have a water baptism set on the calendar, filled up, heated up, ready to go for the week we get home. Invite their families to come and to see all that God did in their lives. Have a testimonial after service. Take a service and show people in your church what God is doing in the young people in your guys' churches. It will look different. In fact, I remember sharing a dream, and Pastor Gary and Pastor Tammy, I remember like it was yesterday. I was sitting at your guys' house, and I uttered the words, and I felt like a fool when I said it, because it's a big dream. My dream is that every Foursquare church would have a ministry. Again, don't get hung up on hipster jeans and smoking lights. A ministry to children, to youth, and to young adults. Every Foursquare church would have a strategy to reaching those people. The largest generation that we have ever seen. I want to pray for you guys right now. And as I pray, I'm going to have some friends join me up here on the platform. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for using a small Foursquare church to reveal yourself to me and to my family. Thank you for a church that understood Mark 9:37. Whoever welcomes one of those little children in my name welcomes me. Lord, I pray right now that we would do it over and over and over again in our churches, in our communities, all over the world. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak fresh to us and press on our hearts a plan. No matter if we're a new Foursquare church plant or a historic Foursquare church, give us a big vision to reach a big generation. Give us a vision to reach the largest generation this world has ever seen. And give us a passion and insight, a strategy and energy and leaders. Lord, our heart's cry today is that you would give us this generation. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I said, I really do have the privilege of serving with some of the most amazing people Foursquare has to offer. They eat, sleep, and breathe how to reach people for Jesus. Whether they're 0, 27, everywhere in between, it doesn't matter. We are called to serve and love people. And I want to ask a question, a simple question to those of you sitting out here right now. If you serve in Next Gen Ministry, children, youth, and young adults, and I want to be clear, because I know that there are senior pastors out here that serve as the Next Gen pastor as well. If you serve children, youth, or young adults, will you stand up to your feet right now? You can clap for them. You should clap for them. Keep standing. Don't sit down. My next question is this. Pastor Ted said last night, just wrenched my heart. Are you wanting to get into the plate? Maybe you're sitting in here this morning and you're a guest. Maybe you came. Maybe you're an associate pastor and you're feeling the tug to be like, you know what? I need to get back. Or I need to go to this area of ministry. If you're sitting here this morning and you feel the call to the next generation, to serve them and to lead them, to love them and to pastor them, will you please stand to your feet right now as well? If there's anybody that says, man, this is good. I want to say something, and I hope this is okay. I just looked over here and I saw a whole group of people, and I have no hair, so I can make this joke. But I saw a whole group of people that are probably 60 years old stand. I want to say thank you to those of you, all of you that stood, but especially those of you that maybe it's not the norm. Thank you for standing and being willing to serve. And I didn't ask Pastor Tammy this, but I'm going to do it. If you are a senior pastor, if you are a lead pastor, and you heard my story, and you had a renewed passion as a lead pastor to say, I'm ready to commit or even recommit or re-up to serve this next generation, will you stand to your feet for me, please? I'm gonna pray for us, but before I do, I just wanna read these numbers. If you weren't here for the business session, these are amazing numbers, and keep standing. At our camps last year, 2,367 salvations, 4,422 baptisms in the Holy Spirit, 1,527 students called into ministry. So as I look out and as I saw the lead pastor stand up and I see the next gen pastors and leaders stand up, don't let people commit and let them slip away into nothing. Can we have a strategy and a plan before and after? Can we have a pipeline in our churches to lead and love the people of this next generation? Pray. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for those standing. I thank you for those standing saying they want to serve next gen. I thank you for those that are already serving Next Gen, and I thank you for the lead pastors that stood up to say, I'm committed to serve this generation. Lord, hear our cry. Give us this generation. Give us this generation for you. Change hearts, change lives in our churches, in our communities, and in our families, Lord. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, and we humbly ask that you would do amazing things when we get home in this generation. Amen.
One of the great dangers of playing something from convention is that you'll hear these words. Oh, it's all a bunch of pastors. And it's like, kind of lets everybody off the hook. You know, it's those guys. But just like with Chris White, you look at him, he's up talking to 4,000 people. He started here. This is that small church. Oh, the people have changed around a bit. You know, we're not talking about the building. The building's changed too. But everybody knows a Chris White. We all know somebody like that. The kid that has the black eyes. The really weird kid that's kind of hard to get along with. The really weird adult that's hard to get along with. We know those people. And we think that's somebody else's job. But no, it's our job. If you're really young and it's like, man, I just need to get things going with the Lord. That's right. That's exactly right. That may look a little different depending on who you are. For some, you'll get involved in a Bible school. And for some, you'll go to the school of hard knocks. And for some, it might be a combination. I don't know. It's hard to say. For adults, you know, those that are older, you know, like older can be like 27. We're not talking about real old. Although it might be 72 and reverse the numbers, or it could be older. It doesn't matter. Everybody knows somebody like this. It's Father's Day. Hey, dads, guess what? You know that little button pusher you got? If you can open the window a little bit and let the little button pusher, male or female, know that you have to trust in a living God and you know his name is Jesus Christ, that will change their lives. And so often, we kind of let that go because we have to maintain an image, you know. I'm the dad. And we don't let the kid, the young person, the button pusher, know what really makes us tick. And when that happens, we wonder sometimes, why don't they turn out okay? And we took it away from them. Now, some of you that are in this room, I have the privilege of being your biological father. And that's just a tremendous privilege. But I'm the father, I'm the dad of many, many, many more than I am the biological father. And it just started that way. I'd see these kids come over to the house. I didn't know who they were. But I'm like, they're dad. I'm going, how did that work? They got dads. Yeah, it doesn't minimize somebody else's biological dad. Do you understand that? What's he calling you to? That has been the message of this church, of my preaching, of what we've said for months now. What's he calling you to? What are you going to do? And one of the things that we like to do is we like to look at a Chris White and go, hey, look at that. And I don't know if you realize it, but that little kid with that whole story, talking to 4,000 people, starting this little church, we go, cool, our work here is done, citizens. No, that's not it. See, that's the past. The Apostle Paul talks, he says something really weird because we tend to think in terms of the wrong we've done when he says, forgetting what lies behind, pressing on towards the mark, the upward call of Jesus Christ. And we think about, you know, it's just the evil that we've done. That's, you know, it's all in the past. Isn't that great? Yeah, it's really great. But there's another meaning. What happens if we leave the good in the past also and leave it behind? And we're always looking for new good to do, new good to have impact with. Tell you what, when you forget that, you're done. You might as well sign up for your funeral right now because you're over. The idea, and it doesn't matter how old you are. I've known 27-year-olds that were done. And I've known those who were north of 80 years old who weren't done by any stretch. My parents got saved after 40 years old. And so they're the exception. I was saved at 5. I'm not the exception. But God began to put a calling on my life at that point. What calling has he put on your life? Well, I don't want to be a pastor. But fine, that's good. Glad to hear it. What's he calling you to, though? And see, well, we already did our bit because we worked with Chris White, and he's carrying on. that he is carrying on. He's a senior pastor now. You know, we saw a video of a guy who became a pastor at 20 years old. I have news. Chris is older than that. And we think, well, you've got to be qualified. You have to do this. It's like, wait a minute. Qualified for what? And in what way? Because, see, I'm not talking about somebody else. I'm talking about you. What is it that God is calling you to do, and you disqualify yourself because of your past? Or you disqualify yourself because you don't have this such and such a background? Or you disqualify yourself for some other reason? The idea is not that you disqualify yourself. Chris White, when I first heard of him, my son Owen, who's my oldest son, I won't tell you how old he is, but he's getting up there. And he has six kids. Besides, that's another story. Anyway, he tells me that this guy, Chris White's going to be a church at the youth group. I'm going, who? What? Yeah, Dad, you know, he's kind of a gangster type of guy. You know, he carries a gun around. All. I'm like, I don't want my kids hanging around with somebody like that. And he looks at me, Owen, my son, looks at me. I learned a big lesson. You know, you better be able to learn from your kids. Those button pushers, sometimes the button they push is a lesson button, and we need to learn it. Because he said, Dad, he's a changed man. He knows Jesus. What are you supposed to do with that? But I can tell you what some of us do with it. You know, well, I'm from Missouri on this one. You can just show me. They don't always show you right away. Chris White didn't. So I want to encourage you today, in the midst of Father's Day, if you're a father and you're here, your job's not over. If you've never been a father, your job's not over. How do you know? You're still breathing. If you're a mom, your job's not over. You may have raised all your kids that are in your house, your biological. I get that. That's great. Welcome to empty nest. It's a wonderful thing, except you're not done. Your job's not over. And if you've never had kids, that's okay. Your job's not over. Say, well, see, I do this and this and this and this, and it's in this little box. Great. Watch out. God specializes in breaking out the edges of boxes. Now, I'm looking around the room, and I'm connecting with different ones as I do. And it's really funny because I'm watching these little smiles. I'm just watching these smiles because you've had your box broken open. You've had relationship with somebody, sometimes me, but you've had relationship with somebody and it made a real difference in your life. Would you please be that person to somebody? That's what makes Father's Day. That's what makes it. I got a call from a guy, a young man, and he's not my biological son. And he calls me up and thanks me for being his dad. I'm going, son, have you ever had a DNA test? I can prove this. You know, we're not related. And he thanked me for the part that I'd played in his life for raising him up. And I'm going, I don't deserve this. I'm not that nice a guy. And I'm certainly not capable of making a difference in anybody's life. Guess what? When you love someone, you make a difference in their life. So even starting with that, are you willing to love someone? Are you willing to be something different than you thought you were? Are you willing to recognize the great shoulders of giants that you stand on? You know, I think about this church. I was so glad. I did tease Chris White. I said, thank you for remembering all us little people. But weren't you impressed to hear your pastor's name? Not Lori and I. I mean, that's nice. Paul and Judy. Hey, how cool is that? You hear our names, you know. It's really funny. We won't get into the whole thing, but, you know, Lori's listed first. It's like, that's interesting. This Irish guy, Andrea, you married the Irish guy. and you haven't got him straightened out yet. But he made a tremendous difference in Chris White's life and in a bunch of other people's lives. So did Andrea. So did Paul and Judy. So when you say, well, yeah, but they're retired, retirement doesn't mean you're done. A lot of times it just means it's just getting started, okay? For Lori and I, we have a great privilege and an honor, and we always count that as an honor to be able to come and share the Word of God and to share things with you. Isn't that awesome? That's nice. But you know something? What's he calling you to do? What's he calling you to do? And you know, time changes us. So if you're 80 years old, he's probably not calling you into youth ministry. But you know what he might be calling you to? Being a dad to a kid or a mom to a kid or a grandma or a grandpa. And you're going to change their life. And if you'll take and be bold enough to mention the Lord instead of just kind of, well, you know, he's pretty good. And like this vague sort of thing that nobody could ever get a hold of, but actually name the name of Jesus and say how he changed you, you'll have the most tremendous opportunity to change a person's life. And it makes a real difference. Lord God, we thank you for letting us be here today. We thank you for dads. We thank you, Lord, for those dads that are biological. We thank you for dads that aren't. And we thank you for those who have taken the time to put into our lives. We thank you for Jesus. And Lord, the love that you showed, that you spared not your only Son for us. We thank you that whether we know you exist, believe you exist or anything, all the way through where we have been walking with you for years, you still love us just the same. That you reveal yourself. And I thank you that you reveal yourself so often through men and women who are willing to be someone who loves someone else. Help us, Lord, not to deny that and not to walk away from it and not to walk away from opportunities. We thank you for Chris White, and we ask you to bless him and his family. Bless his church. What an adventure. And his story's not over. Our story's not over. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might have the power to see great things accomplished. And may we have your power so that we can truly love those who know how to push our buttons. In Jesus' name, amen. It's Father's Day. I hope that you're going to have a great meal today. No matter what happens, make sure you do. Have something that you really enjoy. Go ahead and stand. I'm going to dismiss you. And you are free to enjoy your day.